Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Sharing with you for the next 20 minutes or so, we've said already from the stage that Jesus is the reason for the season, and we wholeheartedly want to celebrate Jesus at Christmas time. And I just get the privilege of sharing a little bit about that with you. Would you join me in just thanking our wonderful band? Such a great bunch of guys. Most of them are volunteers, you know. They do such a great job. Hey, we just watched a video about expectations versus reality, and I think it's funny because it's true, yeah? Most of us can relate to those moments in life where our experience of real life just did not meet up to our expectation, yeah? Yeah, so I remember when I was a little girl around about 8 years old and I had a Christmas expectation. I was expecting a particular type of Christmas gift. I don't know if you're my age, but back in the day, Cabbage Patch dolls were all the rage. Have I got any 40-year-old women here tonight that are willing to admit your age and that was your jam too? I had asked Santa for a Cabbage Patch. I see you, Deb. I had asked Santa for a Cabbage Patch doll and I had this great expectation that he would deliver for me. And the doll, I expected she was going to be beautiful. I mean, she was going to be stereotypically pretty. I expected that she would have long, flowing blonde hair. And I expected that she would be wearing a beautiful pink dress, or I think in my 8-year-old brain, purple would have also been acceptable, you know, what little girls are like. And I don't know if you know anything about Cabbage Patch Kid dolls, but you probably don't care, but I'm going to tell you anyway. They came with their own birth certificate. They were pre-named, and I expected that my doll would have a beautiful name. You know, something like Sarah Jane. That's a pretty name I could think of as an 8-year-old. I expected maybe her name would be, you know, maybe Elizabeth Bell or something beautiful. And sure enough, Christmas Day came along and I did indeed get a Cabbage Patch doll and I was so excited. I feverishly unwrapped the packaging and I pulled out the birth certificate and her name was not Sarah Jane. Her name was not Elizabeth Bell. You want to know what her name was? It was Millicent Agatha. I kid you not. Millicent. And I actually need to apologize if there's any Millicent Agathas in the room tonight, or if it's a precious family name to you or something. I'm sure it's a beautiful name, but in my 8-year-old way of thinking, it just wasn't the name that I was hoping for. What's more, she didn't have long blonde hair. She wasn't wearing a pretty pink dress. She had short, cropped brown hair, green eyes, and she was wearing a tracksuit. Of all things. I'm like, Santa, what were you thinking? I secretly suspect that Santa got to the shops a little bit late, you know, on Christmas Eve, and all the pretty ones had gone out the door. But you'll be happy to know that me and little Millie Aggie made our peace and, you know, had many happy memories. I can see you all breathing a sigh of relief for me. When you open up the Bible and you start to read the big story of the Bible, you very quickly start to see that ancient Israel also had an expectation. They had been expecting a Messiah. There had been hundreds of prophecies across hundreds of years that filled up their ancient manuscripts and had fueled this expectation in all of them that Messiah is coming, a king is coming, there is a deliverer who is coming to Israel. And as expected, the Messiah did come. His name, of course, was Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, the Messiah that they got was nothing like the Messiah they were expecting. Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah that they'd been waiting for, but he was nothing like the Messiah that they expected. You see, ancient Israel was expecting that Messiah would come and establish a political kingdom, that he would establish Israel again as a dominant and a prominent kingdom and restore Israel's standing and fortune and this sort of thing. But Jesus was not so much interested in this sort of kingdom. The kingdom that he came preaching about was like a spiritual kingdom. He didn't want to save a nation per se. He was way more interested in saving people from sin and from death. You know, they were expecting that Messiah would come and deliver the nation from foreign oppression and from foreign nations. But Jesus, he wanted to liberate people from the oppression within. He was so interested in the condition of people's hearts and their souls. They were expecting that the Messiah would come with pomp and with fanfare and with all the trimmings that you would expect of a king. But Jesus, he came with nothing of the sort. Everything about Jesus was humble. From his birth in a manger all the way through to his death on the cross, Jesus was actually the epitome of humility. Now, humility as a trait, you know, as a character trait, is not necessarily the very first trait that you would think about with people who are in really high positions or high places of leadership or authority. You know, I had such a laugh recently when I read a news article about the rapper Snoop Dogg. Any Snoop Dogg fans in the house? Don't put your hand up, it's embarrassing. Keep that down. Well, Snoop Dogg, for some unknown reason, just received a star on Hollywood Boulevard's famous, you know, Walk of Fame. And as he was receiving his star, he made an acceptance speech. And I want to read it to you. He said this. He said, "I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for..." Sorry about my accent. It's the best I got. "I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for just being me at all times." Go, Snoop Dogg. You know, like when we see these people in the upper echelons of society, we don't necessarily expect humility. I think Snoop Dogg was a great example of that. We can all breathe a collective sigh of relief that Jesus was nothing like Snoop Dogg. Jesus is God's gift to us.
Yeah, yeah.
The Bible actually says, "For God so loved the world..." Not the world universal, the world us, the world people, the world you and me. "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." He gave Jesus. Jesus is God's gift. And Jesus came to us with great humility. They say divinity became humanity. And like what that means is God became a man. He was the God-man, fully God and fully man. He became a man. He put on skin and bone and flesh and he dwelt among us. He was born with no dignity in a manger to a teenage virgin. It was scandalous, the circumstances surrounding this birth. His father, his earthly father, was Joseph, a tradie. It was commonly believed that Jesus, before his ministry began, was a tradie himself. This Jesus that we've sung about, he understood the human condition. He gets it. He's a Jesus who gets it. He went through the things that we go through. He understood what it was like to be rejected and to be misunderstood and to be mistreated and all of these things. He's not just an ideology. He's not just a worldview. He is a man that we can relate to. You know, when his ministry began, he wasn't surrounded by like the educated and the scholarly and those sorts of things. He was surrounded by grubby fishermen and tax collectors and just all sorts of ordinary people. Jesus is all about ordinary people. I'm pretty happy about that. You know, the people he reserved his sharpest criticism, his greatest disdain was actually for the religious leaders that were full of religious hypocrisy. They're the people he really came down hard on. He could not stand their preference for rules over relationship. He hated that they had a lust for power and this sort of thing over people. When you read the Gospels, when you read those first four chapters of the New Testament in your Bible, they're called the Gospels, and it's all full of the accounts of Jesus' life. And if you were to read them, you would see that Jesus was very comfortable around the marginalized and those that they called sinners and those that were broken and those who were left out on the fringe, and the ones that society rejected, he never rejected. In fact, he was attracted to them. He went to them and he ate with them and he spent time in their houses and he placed value and worth and dignity on them and he told them who they were and he brought them hope. See, although Jesus was nothing like what they expected, everybody that received Jesus with an open heart, they found out that he was exactly what they needed. He was exactly what they needed. And we know that those who were in opposition to Jesus eventually killed him. And in the same humble way that he lived, he also died. The sin-free Son of God was hung on a criminal's cross, on a Roman cross, between two other criminals, guys that deserved it, but he did not deserve it. This brutal death. If you're new to the story of Jesus or the story of the Bible, you have to realize that this whole Jesus dying on the cross thing did not take God by surprise. It was all part of his big plan because the death of Jesus was not final. God rose him from the dead 3 days later. It was the purpose of God all along so that through Jesus, through him, through his birth, through his death, through his resurrection, you and me, and the Bible says anyone who believes could be found in right standing with God, have a relationship with God. Jesus made the following fascinating claim about himself while he was on the earth. He said this. He said, "I am the way." You know, you want to know the way? I'm it. "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father." That means no one can come to God except through me. Jesus was essentially saying, I'm like a doorway. I'm like a gateway. I'm like an access point that through you or through whoever would believe in me, every single person is invited to know God, is invited into life with God, right standing with God, into relationship with God. And like any invitation that we get in life, when it goes out, people have to respond. People have a choice to either accept that invitation or reject it. Just like Facebook invitations. You know, when you get a Facebook invitation, you open that thing up and you have to select going or not going. You know what I'm talking about? Everyone on Facebook? No one's on Facebook. Right. We're pretty backwards here at Nations Church. You know, of course, with Facebook, you get the option of the third button that says maybe. Is anyone else annoyed by maybe? Yeah, well, I've got lots of hands. Yes, now you're admitting your Facebook tendencies. Yes, maybe. I don't even know what that is. I'm like, can you make up your mind? Are you coming or not? I just feel like maybe is maybe the way your friend lets you down gently, or your friend's just telling you, look, I'm waiting for a better offer or something like that. God's invitation to humanity is way better than a Facebook invitation. Everyone can say amen to that. It would want to be, you know. God's invitation to mankind is simply this. Come to Jesus. Believe in him. Receive life. Come to Jesus. Believe in him. and receive his whole and his lasting life. See, the life that God invites us into is a life that actually can transform us. It can totally change us from the inside out. We're invited into a life of freedom. We're invited into a life that is free from fear, free from struggle, free from challenge. We're invited into a life full of purpose and meaning. It is a life that we cannot manufacture on our own. And Jesus actually talked about this invitation into life in a parable in the Bible. I don't know if you know what a parable is, but Jesus used parables all the time. And they were just simple stories that he used to kind of convey a spiritual truth or a moral truth. And Jesus told this one particular parable about a dinner party, but it wasn't really about a dinner party at all. The dinner party in the parable was just like an analogy to illustrate God's invitation to humanity. And I thought it'd be a great idea to read that parable together tonight out of Luke chapter 14. And I'm reading from the Message version of the Bible, which, if you don't know what that is, it's just simplified language to help us understand, or modernized language. So you've got to remember, this is actually Jesus speaking. And he says this. He said, "There was once a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servant to the invited guests, saying, 'Come on in, the food's on the table.'" That's going to be us tomorrow. "Come on in, the food's on the table." "Then they all began to beg off." I'm not quite sure what beg off means. It sounds like another common Australian saying. "They all began to beg off, one after the other, making excuses. The first said, 'Oh, wow, okay, yeah, is that the time? Look, I bought a piece of property and I need to look it over. Can you send my regrets?'" It's like, not going. "Another said, 'I just bought 5 teams of oxen and I really need to check them out. Can you send my regrets?' They're also not going. And yet another said, 'I just got married and I need to get home to my wife.'" He had to check with his wife. He was a maybe. Happy wife, happy life. That's what they say. "The servant went back and told the master what had happened. He was outraged and told the servant, 'Quickly, get out into the city streets and alleys. Collect all who look like they need a square meal, all the misfits, all the homeless, all the wretched you can lay your hands on, and bring them in here.' The servant reported back, 'Master, I did what you commanded, and there's still room.' The master said, 'Then go into the country roads. Whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full.'" It's an interesting little parable from Jesus. And what we need to know or understand is that the man throwing the dinner party, Jesus meant him to represent God. It's God's invitation to us. This invitation that goes out, that is, it's God's invitation going out to all humanity. And these were the themes that Jesus was actually talking about in his parable. And the first point that I need you to see tonight is that God's invitation is for everyone everywhere. His invitation is for all humanity. The invitation went out regardless, to poor, to wealthy, for those who had status and those who had none, for the well put together and those who weren't. You know, God's invitation through Jesus Christ is just about the most inclusive thing on the planet. It is a gospel that is completely free from discrimination or prejudice. Everyone is invited to have a seat at God's table. And it doesn't matter your gender, your age, your class, your background. The question is not so much who can come to Jesus. The question has always been, the real question is, who will come to Jesus? Who can come? God's made it so that everyone can come. But who will come? That's an entirely different question, because that's our decision. That ball is in our court. You have to decide. I have to decide. In fact, everyone has to decide how they're going to respond to God's invitation. We see in Jesus' parable that there were those who chose not to accept the invitation. And they made these excuses as to why they couldn't come. The Bible amazes me. Like, it amazes me because this is an ancient text. You know, no matter what you think about the Bible, whether it's true or not, you can't deny that it is an ancient text. And it's fascinating because while so much has changed, there's some things that haven't changed at all. Because people have been making the same sort of excuses. I think when I was preparing for this, I actually did a Google search for lame excuses. It was really funny. Some seriously random things like, sorry, I can't make it, I have to wash my guinea pig. Just stupid stuff. I can't make it. I'm stuck under my bed. I'm reading this stuff going, are you for real? But in Jesus' parable, there were these ones making excuses, and they said no because they just basically didn't think that they needed what was on offer. Like, I don't need your dinner party thing. You know, I've got my life. I've got my property. I've got my investments. I've got my, you know, my business, my oxen. Anyone got oxen here tonight? You know, I got my wife. Anyone got a wife here tonight? You know, I got my relationships. Yep, I'll see you, Ralph. They're like, I'm good, thanks. You know, thanks for the invitation, but no thanks. I think I'll pass. And Jesus was so insightful because the excuses he spoke about all the way back then are the same sort of excuses people are making today. People are still essentially saying no to God's invitation because it's like, oh, I don't really need your life. I've got my own life. I'm going my own way. I'm independent. I'm kind of in control. I've got a plan. I know where I'm going and you know, everything's not perfect, but I don't need a crutch. I'm good. I've got this, thanks, but no thanks. Thanks, Jesus, but no thanks, I think I'll pass. That, of course, is their choice. It's always everybody's choice. God gave us a free will. It's choice. But there were people in Jesus' parable who did respond to the invitation, people that did respond, and those people were a mixed bag of people. Much like we're a pretty mixed bag of people here tonight. And the Bible describes them in the passage we just read as misfits and in need and wretched and homeless and far off. And let's be honest, we're all a little bit misfit and wretched from time to time, aren't we? Yeah, I don't even think that was an exhaustive list. But here's the thing. Everyone who did respond to the invitation, and in fact, everybody who ever does respond to God's invitation, they actually have one thing in common. They have one thing in common. They're all people who have a need and they know it. They're all people who have a need and they're not too proud to admit it. You remember, Jesus came to us in incredible humility. In fact, if anyone had the right to be full of, you know, pride, it was Jesus. He was the perfect, sin-free Son of God, and yet he came to us in humility, and he was mocked and rejected and despised on our account. He was crucified on our account. He did it all for us out of his love for us. And if we're going to respond to God's invitation, then the humble manner in which Jesus came to us is the very same humble manner in which we must come to him. Yeah. Our independence, fierce independence, pride, reliance on this life that I've built for myself, they're things that stop us from responding to God's invitation in my own life. I had to humble myself. In my own life, I actually had to admit that I was a little bit lost. I had a lot going for me, but I was actually a little bit lost. I was 19 when I truly made a decision to respond to God's invitation, and I definitely had excuses. I think I had as many excuses as anyone because I was from a great family. always knew that I was loved, I had good friends, I had stability, I had good relationships, I was on track to getting my degree halfway through, had my career goal in mind. I was a young, independent woman. The world is my oyster, right? That's what they tell you, you know, this make it happen, go out there. But even in all of that, even though I had all this stuff going for me, I had to admit that the life I had did not feel quite like life enough. Like it was good, it was okay, there was nothing particularly wrong with it, but I just had this feeling that there had to be something more, and I didn't even really know who I was, and I didn't even really like who I was becoming. And so it was at that moment when I was 19 that I really responded to God's invitation. I came to Jesus and I believed in him. I put my faith in him and I really received his life, his whole and lasting life. And I have walked with Jesus ever since. It was the best decision that I ever made. And I know there's so many other people here in this room tonight that would say the same or similar thing. You know, he has transformed me. His life has transformed me. I'm a different person. I live under a banner of his peace and his joy and his hope, free from crippling fears, free from massive insecurities. This life I have with God is more life than I could have imagined. Here's the thing. God's invitation still stands. For every man, for every woman, for every child, it is always open. It was relevant all the way back then, and it's still relevant today in the year 2018. Because let's be honest, life can be so hard. Life can be hard. Let's get real. Stuff happens. I know it happens. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's probably happened to you. We see it all the time. Relationships end. You know, businesses can go bust, investments can go bad, wealth can be lost. And if you've put your faith in that, then what do you do? We supposedly live in the lucky country, and we do. Australia is amazing, but I have read so many articles lately about what's going on inside the condition of the hearts of Australians. You know, we're getting angrier. We're getting lonelier. We're lonelier than ever before. We're more depressed. We're more anxious. There's more reported domestic violence. Clearly, sometimes this life is not life enough. Here's the good news. Everyone sigh, relief. Good news. Good news. God loves you. Mic drop. God loves you. God loves you. He's never going to close the door on you. His invitation stands open for you. While there's breath in your lungs at any point in your life, any time, anywhere, you can decide, I am going to come to Jesus and I am going to believe in him. I'm going to put my faith in him and I'm going to receive his life in my life. And I want to say, it might not be everything you expect. Probably won't be, because you've probably got a very religious expectation. Might not be what you expect, but I promise that everybody who opens their heart to Jesus always finds that is exactly what they need. Come on. If you believe that, why don't you just say amen?
Amen.
Come on. Why don't you stand to your feet? I'm going to ask the band to come up on the stage and join me. Let's just read this scripture, this Bible verse from John chapter 3:16. If you're new to church, if you're new to this whole Christian thing, this is one of the most famous passages of scripture in the entire Bible. And it says this, it says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son. He gave his one and only son. Merry Christmas. That's God's Christmas present to you for today, for tomorrow. And this is why. So that no one need be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Isn't that beautiful? So beautiful.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.